This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
Those are the candidates. Now we get to play the game. Who's the worst?
The Hoffman Show.
Congratulations to the Jets. You finally didn't make one.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. It's a bit of a funky show today in that I don't know if Russell was joking or not at the end of his show about there's a lot going on. I'm guessing he was joking. This is one of the most barren, weird sports days I can remember in a long, long time. There are so many days we come in and it feels like we're drinking from an absolute fire hose. Certainly the first part of this month with NFL free agency, felt like there was stuff happening. And for all I know, there could be a story that goes kaboom at some point during the show. And everything I'm about to say to set up the rest of the show is rendered moot. But as we sit here right now at 4:03 Eastern time, there ain't a lot going on. We're kind of in the midweek lull of the NCAA tournaments, women's tournament we talked about a lot yesterday after everything that happened on Monday, Maryland's double overtime win, as well as the Juju Watkins terrible injury. So we covered that yesterday. Men's tournament, obviously, we're waiting to get back going tomorrow. Nat's opening day is tomorrow, so there's that. But football-wise, we got a couple of stories we're going to talk about here off the top. But this is kind of, in some ways, the day that we think of in the middle of the off season, where, or in the middle of the season, where you're like, man, I'd love to do something a little bit different during the off season. I'd love to take an opportunity. If we ever get space to, like, flush out a topic, let's flush out a topic. And so the 5 o'clock hour is going to sound a little bit different today. Earlier, Sam Fortier, Washington Post, my good friend, came over to my house where I have a home studio. And we talked about team building, especially through the ownership lens, for a literal hour. I think the recording is like 56 minutes. And we're going to release the full thing as a podcast that you can listen to straight through. So if you cannot listen or you're not going to still be in your car or whatever it is by 5 o'clock, don't worry. We'll get you the entire thing uninterrupted at some point within the next 24 hours once we get the full thing edited. But we're going to share with you the first two chunks of that conversation during the 5 o'clock hour today. And it was a really fascinating conversation. Those of you that have heard Sam on the show and or read Sam's work, you know he's a super, super smart guy who thinks very deeply and very critically about a lot of different things. And he's covered Major League Baseball, obviously was on the Nats beat for the Post. He's also covered the Chargers back for the LA Times. And then he worked for the Ringer covering the NFL writ large before he came to the Washington Post. So, like, he's got some different perspectives and his life as a reporter. I obviously have covered both as a reporter and now as a talk show host for multiple years. And we just had a really great conversation about team building in the NFL, specifically in the NFL, but some of the things obviously apply to other leagues as well. So that'll be coming up at 5 o'clock today. Really looking forward to sharing that with you. Really enjoyed having Sam over and doing that. And it's something, you know, we hit stop and we looked at each other and we're like, we got to do that more often. We got to find more stuff to talk about. So Sam's already committed to coming more on the show in long form ways. And it's fun. Like, this is the age we're in. People like having big, deep, long conversations. So we'll put that in the Hoffman Show podcast feed in full. But you don't have to go searching for it. We're going to play a couple big chunks for you on the radio here at 5 o'clock. That said, what do you do on a day where there's not really a top story outside of have one of your friends come over and record a really fun high-level conversation about something you don't have time to do during the season? You talk about your division rival that is scrambling seemingly at quarterback. The New York Giants, right at the end of our show yesterday, signed Russell Wilson to what was at first advertised as a one-year $21 million deal. In reality, it is a one-year $10.5 million deal. And Russell Wilson is getting what is basically backup money. If you want to look at, for instance, for comparison purposes, Marcus Mariota, the last 2 years from the Washington Commanders, his cap number was an identical 8.2, or sorry, this year it'll be 8.28 million. Last year, he made, where's the actual cap number? Paid on cap, $6 million. So definitely high-end backup money, but there are other backups in the league making closer to that $10 million range. I think last year Jacoby Brissett got in that $10 million range for the New England Patriots, kind of in a similar situation. In a, hey, we'll let you be the starter to start, and if you play well enough, obviously you get to keep it. And if not, then we're gonna draft a rookie, and that guy will be our starting quarterback. And it's a TBD for the Giants. I think they would love to get up to one and take Cam Ward. Now, I think that they've strengthened their bargaining position where they're not looking at, I mean, 2 weeks ago they had no one. Now they have Jameis Winston, who I want to talk about more in a second, and they have Russ, and now they can look at the Tennessee Titans and be like, look, here's our price. If we have to go into the season with Russell Wilson, like, we're fine. We'll pick someone next year in a hopefully a better QB class, or we'll find another way. We'll take someone later. We'll trade back into the first round and get a Jackson Dart, or, you know, we'll take the Louisville kid, or what, you know, Kyle McCord in the third round out of Syracuse. Like, we'll find someone to be our rookie that we take a shot on. But, like, we've got two veterans. We feel like, and by we, I'm talking specifically Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, because those are two guys that are fighting for their jobs. And frankly, if they can't at least prove some type of proof of concept with the combination of Jameis and Russ, then they probably don't actually belong in the jobs. Like, if you can't surround Jameis and or Russ with enough talent to win like six games, and show some level of competency and be like, look, when it was good, when we had real quarterback play, as long as the losses are like in large part thanks to the quarterback, right? Can you show on the days where Russ was looking like old Russ, or when Jameis played and he was on, look what our offense looked like. Look at how our playmakers shine. Look at how Darius Slayton, who we brought back, compliments Malik Nabers. Look at our second-year running back, Tyrone Tracy. Our offensive line didn't look like a mess. Like, Look at all this stuff. And if it doesn't, then you got a problem. And I think especially if you can get, whether it's Dart, the Louisville kid whose name I'm totally forgetting. So apologies to him. Shuck. Thank you, Max. Shuck from Louisville. I knew it was a shuh sound, and I literally, that was just stuck on the tip of my
head. Well, and it's not spelled like shuck either.
That's the thing. You get it. Max and Anthony today, by the way. Currently a faceless Max on the YouTube stream. Sorry, he's just a disembodied voice from above. But we'll get Max's beautiful beard on the Instagram or on the YouTube here shortly. Yeah, it's not spelled right. I mean, it's spelled right, but it's not spelled phonetically. And it's a whole deal. But, like, I could also see them taking a flyer on, like, a Jalen Milroe. Probably top of the third round, not top of the second. I also don't know if the Giants have extra picks in the second round. But, like, if I'm Brian Daboll and the way I got this job was working with Josh Allen, I'm seeing what I can do with Jalen Milroe. Hey, Jalen, we're going to get you Malik Nabers to throw to. And by the end of the year, we're hoping in the last four games you run enough and show enough promise by throwing fade balls to Malik Nabers that we'll be here to coach you in 2026. Like, I could see that. It's why I actually thought, like, Jameis, who will force a ball anywhere, like, you want to get instructions on where to throw the football and have a guy just not think and rip it. Jameis Winston is your guy. There is no thinking going on there in terms of ripping it. It's a little harsh on Jameis, but also at times, is it? With the way that he seems to not see defenders. He just, like, locks on his guy and lets it rip right into the defender's arms. But if you want a guy that throws with conviction and that will force feed your number one target the ball, which I think they want to do, like, Jameis, I thought, actually was a smart signing, and I didn't think that anyone could be considered a smart, or any team could sign Jameis Winston and have it be considered a smart signing. But we'll see. And I think it's a really interesting move in the division. And I think from the Commander's perspective, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, the Giants are going to be just, like, with Dexter Lawrence on defense, some of the other guys they get, especially if they go draft Abdul Carter, or get Travis Hunter, like, they're going to be good enough on defense that they're annoying, which it was true last year that, you know, while the Commanders did a really good job in the second game, that first game was rough. Obviously, they could not get in the end zone. And the Giants have some really good players on that side of the ball that will be in the second year of this system. And then on offense, if they're just potent, they're a team that, you know, Daniel Jones wouldn't really push the ball down the field against most teams. Obviously, he had that really nice run where he was a superhero against the Commanders for a while. But their guys didn't really get it. You know, they couldn't block it up, nor could they get the ball down the field at all. So they weren't that dangerous offensively, despite the fact that Nabers is a monster. With Russ, who just, that dude will chuck it deep, go ball after go ball. That's what he does. Middle of the field, don't even bother covering it. Just put all your resources on the outside because that's where the ball's going. And then Jameis, who will sling the ball all over the lot to anybody who wants to catch it. The Giants could be annoying this year. I don't think they're going to be good, but on any given week, if they click, if Russ has a good week or Jameis has a good week, like, they could be, I don't say anybody, but also, you know, Jameis has a 5-touchdown day. Who knows? Russ is just on it with the deep balls, throws 4 of them. Like, who knows? It's the NFL. These things happen. So, I'm intrigued by what the Giants are doing. But I also don't know that it's a great team-building strategy, which brings us to the other team left with a vacant seat and one quarterback left to fill it, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. On a day where we're going to spend a lot of time talking about team-building, what exactly do the Steelers want to do? What are they trying to do? And how does what the Giants did affect them in the long term as, you know, the NFC East tries to stack up to take on an Eagles team that's still got a lot of youth and a Commanders team that's got the best quarterback in the conference who's only entering year two? We'll discuss both of those things next here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. 4:30, we will get into the wildest mock draft I think I've seen of this cycle. Bucky Brooks, who I like a lot, he's really smart. He spends the time. He just has a different view of this draft than a lot of other folks. This is what's really fun about draft season is, like, it, within teams, you know, oh, this team thinks that this player that everyone thinks is a first rounder is a sixth round pick. No, one scout from that team does, and that kind of stuff happens all the time. Bucky Brooks will dive into his mock draft coming up at 4:30 that he just released yesterday. Also, some NFL rule changes that I love and must happen immediately at 4:45 before our big, fun 5 o'clock hour with Sam Fortier in studio. The Pittsburgh Steelers, though, seem like they and Aaron Rodgers are the proverbial last two at the bar, last two at the dance. Max, who is still faceless to the world on video. Max, any other of those analogies that you really like? The last two?
The last, like, men standing, I guess?
I feel like the bar and the dance are the two that get thrown around the most.
For sure.
Yeah, I guess they're standing there looking around going, I guess it's us, huh? The Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. Who would have thought? And it's like, I guess my question would be, if you're a Steelers fan, is like, do you even want this? Like, at this point in their careers, how much different are Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers? Mason Rudolph is the current number one line QB there. Aaron Rodgers, the seemingly will be if he wants to be there and they can find a number that works. And the answer is there's still definite. There's definitely, with the way Rodgers played at the end of last year, and I am fully aware that I am a gigantic Aaron Rodgers hater, something that he has earned. But like, he's better than Mason Rudolph. And when he got, you know, at the end of last year, a little bit farther removed from the Achilles, Devontae's there. Like, they had some big, big production days, and he looked more competent. But like, it still wasn't good. And if we're talking about the 25th versus the 38th best quarterback in the league, yes, the 25th is way better. But like, at what cost? And I would argue that the stuff that comes with Aaron Rodgers, the fact that even if you think you can control it for a year, like he's not your franchise guy, he understands the score, it's a one-year deal, you're Mike Tomlin, you're the Steelers, blah, blah, blah. We have Cam Hayward as our enforcer in the locker room. You can say all that stuff. Like, if it goes sideways, he's not going to be very fun to deal with. And even if it doesn't go sideways, like, who knows what he might do or say on Pat McAfee's show, or the possibilities are endless. That's kind of the Aaron Rodgers experience. And if you're getting the 10th best quarterback in the league, or for a long stretch of his career, the first, second, or third best quarterback in the league, that's a calculation worth making. For the 25th best quarterback in the league, I don't know that it is. I might just have a nice, quiet 38th best quarterback and some young guy who's hopefully chomping at the bit. No chance of poison in the locker room. And we're gonna roll on with that. I think I'd rather do that. I 100% know. Because then the other part of this is, can you win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers in 2025/26 when this actual Super Bowl would be played? Can you win one this season? Because if the answer is yes, and you think you can mitigate some of the other stuff and or deal with it, maybe you don't. You're just like, Aaron's going to Aaron, and we're going to deal with it. Okay, fine. Like, if that's how you want to approach it, because you think you can win a Super Bowl, and that's a calculation that I think is up to each owner, each GM, each head coach, and frankly, each fan rooting for, is to be like, do I want to root for the wacky guy, or do I kind of hope that he fails, even though he's on my team now? Fans can make that individual decision, but if you make the decision that we would like to win football games, that's not an irrational decision. That's the kind of the point of the sport. Are there limitations to that? Sure. We can get into that another day. And in fact, Sam Forty and I will get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. But if you know going in that Rodgers can't win you a Super Bowl because he's not good enough anymore, then what's the point? Like, I'm sure Tomlin would like to keep his double-digit win season streak alive, and maybe Rodgers is your best chance at that. But, like, at some point, being bad for a year isn't the worst thing that can happen to your franchise, especially if you're stuck in the middle. And there is no more stuck-in-the-middle team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've been stuck without winning a playoff game since the early 2010s. They constantly win 10 games, can't win 15, 14, 13. They just don't have a premier quarterback that's going to lift them to the level you need to get to the Super Bowl. And I think this particularly is hard and sucky for them because they've got a bunch of vets that are at the very end. And you feel bad not trying to maximize whatever chance there may be, however slim, for guys like Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. But if you're trying to be a good steward of the franchise, there is a value in dipping for a year and finding your quarterback. And so if you have the year, oh God, what year was it? 2022, I believe, where the Eagles were bad. They fired Doug Peterson, and then they wound up trading back in the draft, still getting with their first pick, Devontae Smith. Like, nothing wrong with that. Not a thing at all. And so I think that that is the calculation I'd be making if I were the Steelers, is if we like someone this year, am I trading up and taking Jaxon Dart or Jalen Milroe or whoever in of the two the second bucket of quarterbacks? I'd seriously think about it, but I'm also keeping open the option of just being like, you want to know what? Mason Rudolph's our guy. If we win six games, we win six games, and we'll go next year. And frankly, if you take Jaxon Dart and he doesn't work out and you just at 21, or you take one of these guys in the second round, our guy Shook out of Louisville, you take him in the second round, it doesn't work out, you just draft someone next year when you stink. That's fine. Do that. But from a this is the thing that if you get too short-sighted on the team building and you go, okay, who's the best quarterback we can get in 2025? We are now at the point where the best quarterback we can get is Aaron Rodgers. For what? And this, I would say this, by the way, if Rodgers had signed in New York and Russell Wilson was, you know, looking at a return to Pittsburgh, I would say kind of the same thing. I mean, at least with Russ in Pittsburgh, there's a chance for some year two familiarity with Arthur Smith and some growth in the system, and he proved that he could get into the playoffs last year. But like the Aaron Rodgers level, I would say, I kind of say the same thing if Kirk became available. Like, I love the idea of Kirk as a backup mentor guy in the meeting room who's going to help my young guy, as long as he knows that going in, unlike what happened last year with Penix. But like, once you get to that, if this is who those guys are, there's no point in signing them as your starter. None. Zero. Unless you have the young guy in place, or you are 100% are getting the young guy. But with the thing, the difference is with Rodgers, I don't know that I actually want him around a young guy, which is basically the calculation that Minnesota made of, even if JJ winds up, if Rodgers sucks in camp and JJ winds up being ready, or we make that switch mid-year, like, we don't want that quarterback room being poisoned with whatever it is that Aaron Rodgers is thinking about the world on any given day. Nevertheless, any ideas he has about football where he, you know, is different than guys like Matt LaFleur, which is why they moved on in Green Bay. Nevertheless, what he brought into New York with him, much of which was fired and sent away before he even really got going last year. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up next, Bucky Brooks, Mock Draft 3.0, one of the most unique that I have seen. Do we like it, or do we think it's a bit out there? We'll tell you next. It's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980, where we got Mad Max kind of in the frame now. There you go. You just gotta get back, because he's got the camera in the one place.
I'm sliding all over the place.
There's a lot of stuff that's happening in that studio.
There are like four screens in here now.
You got four screens, three cameras.
Well, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 screens.
6. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of screens.
But it's kind of funny because you know, when you're over on the other screen over there, you're kind of, no, other way. See, now if you get that way, now she kind of fading into the darkness there.
Back
and
into
you're just a shadowy figure, and then it's like, oh, there's Max.
Oh, he emerges.
Man, I feel like this Bucky Brooks mock draft just emerged yesterday. I saw them pumping it out, like NFL.com, mm-hmm. Pumping it out on social, and I was like, oh, let's take a look. Whoa, have you taken a look at this thing yet?
I took a little peek in the break. It's quite something.
So let's dive. Well, first of all, let's see what kind of preamble they wrote. Yeah, okay. So they just set it up. There wasn't anything specifically.
Nothing crazy.
So Tennessee takes Cam Ward 1. Okay, cool. Got it. That seems to be the direction they're going. I still think, based off of both the reporting and like just kind of how this thing goes, I still would not be surprised if they're pushing for a trade. That them and the Giants are on the phone, and like the week before the draft or even the day of the draft, we get a trade. This is the latest in like 20 years, 25 years, I can't remember the exact year, that we haven't had any first round picks traded. So every single team owns their own first round pick right now, because there's also no trades last year of like future first rounders. So the Titans take Cam Ward. This one is like controversial, but not
ish.
It's a quarterback at number two. Just a lot of, there are people that don't think Shedeur Sanders is worthy of a first round pick at all, and to take him at two is a lot, but the Browns desperately need a quarterback. They've got Shedeur Sanders, and you know, I don't hate the fit. You know, people I don't think have watched Shedeur, and I haven't watched a ton of him like tape wise. Like I understand who he is as a player, but I haven't like watched the tape. I don't know if you heard Max, but Commanders don't need a quarterback this year.
I have. It's kind of weird being in this territory.
It's great. It's great.
Feels
you
good.
Sit there for those on the in radio listening. Max in his Sean Taylor shirt today. Very, very nicely done, sir. Shador's like, yes, he's Dion's kid. There's some athleticism there, but he's not like, he's not his dad in terms of athleticism. He's not a freak show running around, 4.21 speed. Like, that's not who Shedeur Sanders is, where his dad might have run the 4.1s back in the day. Like, Dion was one of the most special athletes in the history of sports. And Shedeur is certainly not unathletic, but he is a pocket passer. He can really get back there and sling it with his feet set. Like, he does a good job. He's just smaller. Like, the arm is not amazing. But stylistically, the fit with Stefanski's not bad. And that's what Bucky writes there. Kevin Stefanski's work well with traditional pocket passers. Sanders fits the bill as a classic dropback quarterback with a game built on touch, timing, and anticipation. So, okay, fine. Here's where things get fun. And I actually really, we did a mock draft. I do a live stream show, Max, on Mondays with my buddy Tony. And we did what we deemed the internet's fastest mock draft. And I had the Giants pick at three. And all of a sudden, I'm staring at Hunter or Carter. And I was like,
tough pick.
Yeah. Bucky goes Hunter. I went Carter. But the more I think about it, the more, one, there's a great internet meme going around that Jameis is, Travis Hunter would be perfect because if Jameis is the quarterback, you just tell Jameis that he's a corner, and then he'll throw to him. And then some days when Jameis is having a good day, you tell him he's a wide receiver and he'll still throw to him. So that's a funny internet meme. But I do think the idea of, hey, we have Malik Nabers. If we can supplement him in big situations with Travis Hunter offensively and then hopefully make him our number one corner and make Deontay Banks try to see if we can salvage him as a number two. Like, I like that idea. They've already got Brian Burns, who they paid, and they still have Kayvon Thibodeau, who is a monster against Washington and basically no one else. But I think they could probably make that argument either way. Patriots then obviously go Abdul Carter at four. They might have just gotten the best player in the draft at four. Jags, Mason Graham. Vegas, Ashton Jeanty. That's not the surprise, though. But there's your first running back off the board. Again, this is Bucky Books Mock Draft 3.0. The Jets, Tyler Warren at seven. That is
very high.
It is, but also, I don't hate it?
No.
I like, could they use linemen? Yes. And is building through the trenches always a good idea? Yes. Like, you're never going to take a lineman, unless you're the Commanders, you do four straight in a row. You're mid-first round picks with a litany of other needs. But basically, I'm never going to look at you taking an offensive lineman and be like, bad idea.
Right.
Like, would that be the best use of the Eagles' first round pick? Probably not. But then again,
it's maybe. Worked for them before.
Yeah. Why not? But Warren is a guy that's like a bona fide wide tight end with pass catching upside, which is rare. Like dudes who can block and also be legitimate pass game weapons. And for a quarterback like Justin Fields, like let's get a guy who can block a little bit. We're going to be a run first team, but that also can be an easy target outlet. And let's see if we can salvage Justin Fields into a real bona fide NFL starter. And if not, there is no system. No quarterback that can't benefit from a really good tight end. So I don't, the tight ends typically don't go that high because of the contract value. Tight ends don't get paid. And thus you are not saving that much by taking, especially a guy that high who's going to make pretty good money, relatively speaking, for a rookie. You also need good players. So don't overthink it. Jalen Walker, the edge from Georgia to the Panthers. Interesting. Will Campbell gets to stay in Louisiana. He goes nine in Bucky's mock. And then's the fun one, Max. You got Omarion Hampton, running back to the Chicago Bears.
Be very fun.
It's way more fun than I want it to be.
Yeah. I'm thinking the same.
Like, I wanna smash the Bears here if they do, where they would do this and be like, how could you possibly? But like, this is why you do what they did in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
They've added
load up.
they've added pieces on the defensive line. They've added pieces. They went major hunting on the offensive line. They've got Rome Odunze from last year. They paid DJ Moore. Like, they really do need a stud running back to support Caleb Williams, especially when you look at the offense that Ben Johnson ran in Detroit. And that's Bucky's write-up here, is like the two-back rotation in Detroit, you know, that was huge. And if Omarion Hampton can be your DeAndre Swift, like, sweet. And I don't think Detroit's regretted that pick for 1 second.
No.
Shows you the power of doing well in free agency to set a floor for your team. Gives you options. Quickly to get through the rest of this so we can get to the Commanders, who, if you'll remember, are all the way down at 29
so
in each and every mock draft. It is so far. I've been talking to people about the draft, and I'm like, man, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to stay up for their pick. And if I stay up and then they trade it, I'm going to be so mad.
I'd be furious.
I stayed up way past my bedtime for you to trade into okay, fine. They should do that anyway.
You're getting pre-mad, and I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mad personally, but like, also, it's the move I want. It's like what I endorse them to do.
Yeah, it's the right move, 100%. But if I'm waiting for it on draft night,
yeah,
I'm not going to be happy.
Can we do it earlier?
Please.
Probably not. Probably not. There's no way that trade's going to go down earlier, because then
good point.
You don't want to do that until you're on the clock if you're the other team.
True.
Everybody pick in 5 minutes. Or you can do an entire first round in about 20 minutes. Tony and I did it on Monday. I mean, what are these teams waiting for? They've been preparing for months. Tony and I barely did any prep at all. We were right in for the jokes. Niners took Jahdae Barron. Cowboys took Armon Membu. Dolphins, Kelvin Banks. I've seen Banks drop all the way in the second round in some mocks. People are all over the place on him, mostly in the 20s, but he's got him going 13. Colts get Tyler Booker, the guard from Bama. Falcons take Mike Green, who could go this high, but also could be the 40th pick in this draft because of character concerns. Cardinals take Walter Nolan, who I've seen fall a lot down into the Commanders range. Shamar Stewart, Bengals. Opposite of Trey Hendrickson, that's a great pick. Seahawks take Gray Zabel. This feels high for him, but also the Seahawks need linemen badly, and he plays all five positions, so pick one, plug him in. Bucks take Jahad Campbell out of Bama. Broncos, here's your third first-round running back, Travion Henderson, Max.
It would kill me. I really want him at 29.
Really? I need to watch the running backs.
His pass pro's crazy. For his size, it's just...
I'm not mad at a running back in the first two rounds of this draft. I probably would just wait. But
yeah, I get it. There's we'll a lot see. Of talent.
Pittsburgh, he's got the Jackson Dart deal. I love that. Loveland reunites with Harbaugh in L.A. for the Chargers. Packers take Will Johnson. I think we had him at like 9 to the Saints in our little mock that we did on Monday.
Wow.
So that's a steal. I wonder why Bucky doesn't like him as much as others. Amanda Worry, the safety, gets to go apprentice for Harrison Smith and then just destroy the NFC North. He goes to the Vikings 24. Texans take Josh Simmons at 25. That would be an A-plus pick. Like, look, if you're going to trade Laremy Tunsil and then you sign Cam Robinson, Trent Brown to one-year deals, Josh Simmons, who might be the best tackle in this class but has a knee injury that's pushing him down, and you get him to replace Tunsil long-term, and he gets to learn from those two vets, like, that would be an A-plus move for the Texans. That would be, like, man, that's so good. Rams take Tet McMillan.
Shocked
he's
fallen this far.
Yeah. Their people are a little more... I think the receiver market's starting to get a little bit more up-down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's definitely getting a little bit squirrelier in terms of which different receivers guys like at the top of this. I would not be surprised if McMillan goes anywhere from like 7-8 range, like the Jets could take him at 7, down to here. I mean, the Rams getting another big receiver.
Kill me.
Feels like cheating.
Yeah.
He'd be their X, Devontae, or he could be, you know, him and Devontae could play outside. They can switch between the X and the Z, and then let Puka be Puka, and off you go. Mykael Williams, the edge out of Georgia to the Ravens. Donovan Jackson, O-lineman, Ohio State, can play guard, can play tackle, to the Lions at 28. And then, love this, Matthew Golden to the Commanders at 29. Logan and I were talking about this earlier in the week because we did a lot of wide receiver talk on Take Command. And he's like, I would do a backflip if Matthew Golden was available. Like, people think he's just a speed guy. He's got real route running savvy. Like, he's a receiver, like professional receiver. And the fun part about where they are in this draft is there's actually dudes I would probably still consider. I don't know taking over him, but like there's other guys that I'd be certainly happy to take at 29, even at that position. Like if Emeka Egbuka is still on the board here. And then another guy that I would love is like Malachi Starks might be this year's Kyle Hamilton, Cooper DeJean, Brian Branch, the guy who doesn't have a position, but everyone is like, I don't know, he's just a great football player and he's super productive. And then he's going to fall, and then some team like the Eagles will get him, and everyone's going to be mad about it. If that guy happens to be available, Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia, to Washington, just take him. Anyway, Kenneth Grant, DT, Michigan, to the Bills. Derek Harmon, DT, Oregon, to the Chiefs. And then Donovan Ezeraku to the Eagles, which would make Commanders fans so mad. Ezeraku is another definite Washington possibility. Pass rusher, little light, but really has some juice to come around the edge. He becomes your Dante Fowler, but hopefully a better, more consistent version over time. So there's Bucky Brooks mock draft 3.0, and some very, very interesting. And it's just a reminder, like how different the opinions are throughout draft season. We got our big discussion with Sam Fortier in studio on team building and the NFL coming up at 5 o'clock. Up next, some rule changes have been proposed, and I like them. But first, a look at what's trending. The Vikings general manager speaking today said that J.J. McCarthy as their quarterback one is, quote, what we want. Of course, they pulled out of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes earlier this week, and there's really not much of a not much of a sweepstakes left for old A-Rod. The Wizards play tonight in Philadelphia, 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:45 pregame here on the Team 980. And speaking of matchups between teams from Philadelphia and Washington, Nationals opening day tomorrow against the Phillies. We will be broadcasting live from Tap 99 here on the Team 980 right across from Nats Park. Say what's up to Russell and B. Mitch. They'll be simulcasting before the show, or before the game, and then come say what's up to me after as we also prepare for the Terps tomorrow night against Florida. That's what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Was scrolling through the old Blue Sky earlier and saw a list from Nate Tice that he put out that I guess is from the NFL of potential rule changes for the 2025-26 season. And as I reposted it, Max, I said, I cover football for a living, and I approve this message. This is the most duh type stuff that I can remember seeing in a while, which is great, especially in the context, I think, Max, of what we talked about earlier in this week on the show. I'm sure Russell talked about it as well, but like just the heinous review process in college basketball.
Oh,
of how everything takes forever. And like, thankfully, the NFL has figured out that there's some stuff we can do really quickly.
Do in 2 seconds.
Yeah, you just get in the referee's ear and you go, hey, you missed it. Let's unmiss it. Okay, cool. New York has told us with replay assist that we messed up. We're fixing it. Second down. Like, that's, I know that that is a comedic interpretation of how that goes. It's also not an inaccurate interpretation of how that goes. And so how often do we still watch these replays and go, you've got to be kidding me, on things like hits on a defenseless player, face mask calls. How many phantom face masks did we see this year? I mean, Commanders alone, we saw like 3 or 4.
Yeah, too many.
They were real bad. Horse collar, tripping, roughing or running into the kicker. Well, guess what? Those are all going to be replay assist reviewable starting in 2025. Rule change proposal, or I shouldn't say they will be, is being proposed that they will be. Please, NFL powers that be, I beg of you, pass this rule proposal. Rule change, proposal, Rule 15, Section 3, Article 9 of your NFL rulebook. Replay assist can pick up a flag if clear and obvious video evidence exists in these additional situations. Defensive player, if there's no head or neck area contact. Now, my question is, Max, and I don't know you know the answer to this, but you're the person in the other side of my screen right now, slash the only other person I can talk to right now that can actually talk back to me. Will this include quarterbacks?
I
feel like
hope.
No. I feel like it would say quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping the answer is yes. That like if there's no head or neck area contact on a quarterback who's made a throw and they're not calling a late hit, right? Sometimes they call a late hit and it's ridiculous, but sometimes they make these calls to, oh, to the head and neck area. And it's like, actually, no, that wasn't the head or neck area.
His face mask was in his chest.
Yeah, you hit him in the shoulder or the chest. And like, especially the ones that are so soft. But it's like, oh, you hit the quarterback in the head. And then you look at the second replay and it's like, you didn't even hit him in the head. Like, I hope that that counts. Please.
Yeah.
Face mask. No face mask, helmet, opening contact. So now, when you watch the replay and it's obvious on the first replay that there wasn't a face mask, they'll be like, replay assist has told us that there was no face mask on the play. We are picking up the flag. Proceed to pass go and collect $200. Perhaps I mixed up my games there. Horse collar, same thing. They review the tackle and it's like, oh, he tackled him by the numbers or the shoulder pad. It was just awkward. I hate that. I don't want guys getting hurt. I like the horse collar rule because it's scary. It's in there for a reason. But we don't need to call them when it's not a thing. Tripping doesn't come up a lot, but I guess this one does feel like it should be reviewable for this clear and obvious thing. Like if a guy trips over his own feet, I guess now we can review that. That's good. I'm sure it came up in some game this year. I'm just not remembering it. And then roughing or running into the kicker. If the fouling player tips the kicked ball. That one's really interesting because I also wonder from a timing perspective, like the turnaround on that. I guess it's like, hey, guys, get out there and run a play. We got the free first down after the kick. But I guess, I don't know. If the ball goes in anyway, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah. If the ball is tipped and it's obvious that it's tipped, then roughing or running into the kicker is, it's only if the fouling player tips it. If you get a piece of the ball first, then you're good. You can smash a kicker as long as you hit the ball
just
first.
Tip the ball.
Okay.
This seems easy enough.
Yeah. And it seems easy. The thing is, seems easy enough, and it seems easy enough to see on a quick replay. In 4K high definition, quickly. Hear that, college basketball? Quickly. Gene Steratour, take your NFL friends. Come over to the college basketball side because you somehow were an official for both. Tell them how this works. Replay assist. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only getting better. All right, when we get back, this was so, so fun earlier today. I genuinely mean that. My good friend Sam Fortier of the Washington Post came over to my house. We sat down in front of my microphones, and we talked about team building for an hour. It's a full podcast that we're going to put out for you as a Hoffman Show special within the next 24 hours or so. I've just got to finish editing the thing, put some music on it, the whole deal. But we went ahead and pulled out two chunks to preview for you that we're going to share with you over the next hour. The first chunk is just some general thoughts on how ownership, and especially through the lens of the Commanders, affects team building. Second, specific to the NFL, we're talking about cash versus cap and why, quote unquote, no one can do it like the Eagles. We will explain what that means, why everyone is saying it, and if the Commanders can catch up over the next hour with you here on the Hoffman Show.